The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today, the much celebrated Professor Chuck Hockett. I think we can give him a little round of applause for winning this award. Chuck was the recipient of this year's Mission Award here at UDM, and well-deserved is all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Everyone does their own part, so I'm not.
And
I'm
you
not
do a really one. Big part so, of that.
Well, thank you.
That's all I have to say.
But, hey, welcome back. This is first Friday of Welcome Back Week, and
that's right.
Man, we made it.
Yeah, we're still standing.
That's right.
Still standing.
Speak for yourself.
Well, sitting.
Seated next to Chuck is Professor Jeff Boats.
Howdy.
What's going on, Jeff?
Oh, I got three kids, and I don't know what else is going on in the world.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I've heard that story before somewhere.
When's your third coming?
He came on May 30th.
Oh, that's so, right. How can I forget?
That was interesting. Emmett, yes. Three little boys.
After the cowboy running back, I take it.
Yeah, just spelled a little differently. It's a long story. It involves a turkey baster and a tub of lime jello. No, I'm sorry.
Talk about overture.
It's E-M-M-E-T. It's named after Robert Emmett, the Irish patriot, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
What are your boys' names?
Joe, Enzo, and Emmett.
And your youngest is?
Matthew.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
A fine name, if I do say so. What do you think, Professor Diane Manica?
Well, I think everything's wonderful.
Good.
Keep bringing kids into the world, then our teachers will all have jobs.
Excellent. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Way to look at things.
Absolutely. It's all about education in some way or another.
Make them go to Catholic university so they have to take philosophy.
Hey, wait a minute now. Well, they could go to a more artistic point of view with Professor
All
Dave
right.
Chow if they wanted to, right?
Yeah, sure.
How are things downtown?
Very tiring. I went to bed at 5:30 this morning and taught an 8:30 class.
Wow.
How do you go to bed at 5:30 but teach at 8:30?
I have deadlines to meet, that's all.
Wow.
Wow.
I met my deadline, it is mine. So.
Yeah. We schedule. Need a zombie calendar for you.
No. I just live the lifestyle. I don't need a calendar.
Oh, I
just live it.
So are we going to have a calendar of what Professor Jim Tubbs is wearing?
That will be a flip chart.
A flipped up chart.
For those who aren't in the know, Dave sketches things on napkins all the time.
Among other
sometimes
things.
Dan as Charlie Brown. Sometimes Beth is a zombie. Sometimes Professor Jim Tubbs, very prim. With a sport coat above table.
When did I pray?
Jim who?
Oh, please.
Sometimes under the table
man.
Wearing polka dot boxer shorts. That's right. How are things,
thankful.
Jim?
They're good. So far, they're good.
Good. Yes. What do you got this? I'm assuming ethics, you always do.
Yeah, got a lot of ethics.
Yeah. A lot of my students taking those.
Yeah, but what about your classes?
Oh, my.
I give it away.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, Professor
Dave is ethics.
What's up with you?
Don't look like Charlie Brown, first of all.
In the drawing,
no, you need more hair.
Actually, I had a great summer. I'm really glad to be back.
That's good. So. How are things in Legoland?
They are great.
Awesome.
Very busy.
Very cool. Of course, we've already heard at least a couple times from Professor Beth Oljar, zombie in chief of Ask the Professor. How are things for you, Beth?
Brains. More brains.
Well, it is the first week of classes. That sounds about right.
That's right.
I think, folks, you already know this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. And if you didn't know, now you do. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313.993.1166. Or you can send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we left our heroes, they had received an email late yesterday from our online widget. This question was written by Andrea Moyes of Port Talbot in Wales, as in the country of Wales. And her question is, are freshly fried donuts flour or bread confectionery? The donuts are meant to be sold hot. If you could answer this question, I would greatly appreciate it.
Flour or bread?
Are they flour or bread confectionery? Freshly fried donuts.
Could you repeat that in American?
Yeah.
Flour. Use small words and spell them wrong, please.
How are you defining?
Well, I would say bread. This is my problem. I thought flour was used to make bread. Are we talking about like general specific, right, or are we talking about
how did she spell flour?
I think she's talking about whether they've got yeast in them or not.
Yeah, that could be yeast. They do. I don't think donuts have yeast, do they?
Flour.
So I think it's flour based.
Yeah, I think we figured it out. You know, what can I say? We have lots and lots
donuts
of
don't
expertise
have yeast
on this show.
No, they don't rise at all.
No. No.
Well, yeast, so how are they? Isn't that Welsh poet?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
That's Yeats.
I'm mixing him up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeats. So how do donuts get so light and fluffy and yummy?
Elven magic.
Well, you can use cream of tartar.
All this talk is making me think of Dutch curls.
You know, on the way down here, I almost got donuts instead of cookies. But I chose not to. Next time I will.
Next time
I will choose differently.
I don't know. The cookies were delicious.
Food is
so good.
But the donuts are better.
I love food.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was the only question she sent us. We hope we, you know, helped you out. We've only just recently learned how Wales exactly is part of Great Britain. It has to do with watching the Olympics and all sorts of fun stuff. But we got some other questions here. Unfortunately, there's no return name. It does say Jason said to send you some trivia. So we'll have to talk to Professor Roach the next time we hear him on the show. Who's the only person to win an Academy Award for playing an Academy Award loser? What a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the year was 1978, if that helps. I know Professor Tubbs is usually pretty good at these movie questions. Wasn't Chris Christopherson? I can tell you the name of the movie if you want some more help.
Go, Kramer. Go.
It was Kramer versus Kramer that year, wasn't it? 79 or
this says
no,
the
playing Academy.
Right. So the movie was California Suite.
Oh, that's with Alan Alda.
Okay, but it wasn't Alan Alda.
It was
female, okay. Not Carol Burnett.
There was
how about if I say
who was married to Ted Turner?
How about if
Jane
I say
Fonda?
Was Jane Fonda in there?
Dame
Edna?
Judy Dench?
Maggie Smith, isn't she a dame at this point?
Yeah.
Maggie Smith.
She was in there.
Sweet.
You
that is really
Professor McGonagall.
Professor McGonagall. I'm sorry. Should take the path of least resistance.
Her newest movie's great.
Right.
You know, when these questions are written, because this question was from during the summer, you never know if things changed yesterday, but I think this still might be true. There are still two Major League Baseball teams that have never thrown no-hitters. Do you know what they are?
Well, probably relatively new ones.
Not the Tigers.
Relatively new ones.
Mm-hmm. Colorado Rockies?
Not the Rockies. Rockies.
Florida Marlins?
Not the Marlins. No, not Arizona.
The Mets?
The Mets, absolutely. Meet the Mets.
Somebody just threw one for the Mets.
Meet the Mets. And if you go and you pick up New York on Google Earth and go all the way down to the other side of the country in a diagonal,
San Diego,
you might hit the Padres. Yes, it says the Mets and the Padres.
Somebody did throw a no-hitter for
them. Oh, yeah, Dickey, his name is.
This was fairly recently, so you know, there you go. Revisionist history, unless the professor. Which band has had the most number two singles that never hit number one? An American band.
Beach Boys?
Not the Beach Boys. Although I'd no put it in that general era of history.
Jackson Monkeys? 5?
No, not the Monkeys,
Chicago?
Not the Jackson 5.
No, not Chicago.
I'm trying to think of a way that I can give you a clue.
I know I've heard this before and I can't
remember.
Trio,
quartet.
Is it 60s?
Like yeah, 60s, but 70s? 60s, 70s. I put it in that era.
Jefferson Starship?
Mama's in the Papa.
You might say that when you went to go see them, there would have been a new moon rising.
Oh, Credence.
Credence Clearwater.
Oh.
Most number twos.
I could have guessed.
I wish I had the actual data here. That's all I've got. I'll wait till Dan gets his phone out and we'll... I
promise not to cheat.
Okay.
This year.
I thought you were doing
this
research.
Uh-oh. Oh, you let the cat out of the bag now, Dan.
I think you guys know this one. Which planet shines the brightest from an earthly perspective?
Venus.
Venus, the one that's closest
to us. First
star
I see tonight.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Known as the morning star because it's usually out in the
and the evening star
in the west. Yeah, right.
It's
east.
Both.
Yeah, got it.
Right.
That's right. Which pitcher holds the record for consecutive strikeouts? My word, 10 in a row on April 22nd, 1970. Very famous pitcher from the '70s.
Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver, absolutely.
Mets, but he never threw a no hitter.
Yeah, pretty weird, huh? 10 in a row. Pretty crazy. We'll see how many Scherzer throws tonight. If I have the ability to stay up till 1:30.
Oh, that's right. Seaver threw one, but not for the Mets,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. What is the only Motown song to reach the top 40 by different artists in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s?
Whoa.
Another great question.
Wow. I was going to say Money, but...
Let's see. Who would have been the original?
Shop
I don't
around?
Want to mess this up. As I'm, you know, wearing the Motown logo shirt today. Oh, my.
Wasn't Shop Around.
The Twist?
No, wasn't Shop Around. Wasn't the Twist.
Dancing in the Streets?
It's actually a fairly long title, if that helps. It wasn't Dancing in the Streets.
Heard It Through the Grapevine?
No.
What is it?
What is it? Is this? I guess it's got to be Early Temptations. Must have been the first.
We know better than to ask you to hum a couple bars.
Not What's Become of the Broken Hearted?
The Way You Smile So Bright. You know?
Oh, oh. I can hear it in my head. Been
the way you do the thing you do.
The way you do the things you do, apparently. Four different decades. Pretty great.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Cool questions.
Who wrote it?
Yeah, I'm guessing that was a Dozier song.
One of those Neil Diamond ones, maybe? Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Excellent. Lieber and Stoller. Probably.
All right. So we have some questions here. Music questions from the 70s.
Oh, boy.
Written by Anne-Marie Trampas. I love this piece of trivia. I'm guessing people will jump all over it because there's not many Detroiters who don't know the answer. But this Scottish band got its name when the dart they threw at a world map landed on Saginaw, Michigan.
Bay City Rollers.
The Bay City Rollers. That's right.
Hey, I really liked them when I was 7.
There's nothing wrong with them. I just think it's funny.
I just like throwing
the
darts at
their band
them.
Name,
that's awesome.
You know?
I had their records.
Awesome. Awesome.
I think I did.
You were a teeny bopper.
What can I say?
Try this one. Songs from these two John Travolta films dominated Billboard magazine number ones during the entire 12 months of 1978.
Grease
and Saturday Night Fever.
Yep, very good. That was.
It wasn't Urban Cowboy.
No,
it wasn't Urban Cowboy.
Oh my! Name the beautiful blonde ex-wife of George Harrison, who is the subject of 70s hits such
Patty
as
Boyd.
Layla. Bell-bottom blues and wonderful tonight, Patty Boyd, indeed.
Saucy.
Absolutely. Wow, I guess I didn't know that about bell-bottom blues. Where have I been?
You did know about Layla, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. Absolutely, absolutely. I have the unplugged in my car right now.
I had the bad manners to fall in love with my best friend's wife.
The bootleg recording of an unreleased jam session titled Toot and a Snore in 1974 was the very last time this virtuoso songwriting duo performed together.
Simon and Garfunkel?
Not Simon and Garfunkel.
McCartney and Lennon?
Mm-hmm. Lennon and McCartney.
Mm-hmm. Or the other way around, whatever.
And a snore. Oh. What the heck was that all about? Mm-hmm. Not Patty Boyd.
There were a fair amount of drugs by that point.
I'm guessing.
Needles, so.
I'm guessing. Yeah, exactly.
What were they tooting and what were they snoring?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
Is it snore or snort?
It says snore.
Oh, okay.
Tooting and a snore.
I mean, John Lennon did write a song called I'm So Tired. That's on the White Album, which is a favorite of mine, actually.
Okay, okay.
As a zombie.
Tom Cruise shook his tail feather in his BVDs to this, soon-to-be-dubbed rock anthem by Bob Seger in the movie Risky Business.
Old-time rock and roll.
Every good Detroiter knows that one as well. The title of this cult novelty song by Chuck Berry is described as, quote, silver bells hanging on a string, unquote.
Say that again?
It's a cult novelty song by Chuck Berry. Don't go too far.
It's not that Ramalama Ding Dong or whatever something.
You're close.
No,
you're close.
Crud.
Oh, we're going to have to think about it while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Did he give you a discount or a freebie? Or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Yeah. Our next set of questions comes from Catherine. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
Is
I don't
it
know.
From Grand,
Grand
Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJ changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles.
Ah.
By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
From the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, so
this is our
word.
Since
worrying.
I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you got right or wrong.
Oh,
no.
We'll dig up a keychain.
We'll do something.
We'll find something.
We'll come and move your furniture.
I just wanted a chance to star in your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of
you
chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you
on
the show.
How nice that somebody actually cares about us.
That's wonderful.
Much.
We are back with some great questions from Anne-Marie Trampas. Music questions from the 1970s. We had left it with the title of this cult novelty song by Chuck Berry is described as Silver Bells Hanging on a String. And we were talking, Professor Chow, about being really close.
What'd you say?
The Ramalama Ding Dong.
That's what
I know. Okay. I know that's not it. So.
I'm kind of surprised you guys don't know this one.
Tutti Frutti?
I'm
I don't know.
I'm pulling the trigger here. It's My Ding-a-ling is the name of the song.
Okay.
Everything's fine. In 1972, the song Ben by Michael Jackson spent a week at number one. The song was written for the movie of the same name, which was a sequel to what horror film? Great, great trivia question.
Ben was a sequel?
Well, Ben was about the rats.
Yeah,
that's right. It was remade, actually, a few years ago. Some sort of combination of the two stories.
So it was the Rats of Nim or something?
No. I think of horror movies involving rats. The Pone Collector. Yeah, that's too late.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gee.
Starts with the letter W. Male...
Willard?
Willard is the
name. Oh, yeah. Willard. Oh. And then the next one was Stanley about the snakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Best rat scene ever was in the Game of Thrones episode.
Oh, God.
You watched the show?
No.
Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people told me that we would enjoy that. Here's a good one. Steve Martin recorded King Tut with the Toot Uncommons, which were the original Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, in 1978. They performed it on Saturday Night Live, and it was also on Steve's double platinum Grammy Award-winning album entitled this.
Let's Get Small?
Nope. It's a description of his Czech character, Yortuk Festrunk.
Wild and Crazy Guy?
Wild and Crazy Guy.
That King Tut skit on Saturday Night Live when he sacrifices the blender. God, that was so funny.
Oh, man.
Now, isn't
the original
he and Alec Baldwin still fighting for who hosts Saturday Night Live the most?
Yeah. That's right.
So,
yeah,
they sort of and Baldwin's like got a one show lead on him right now, I think.
Both of them do it at least once a year.
Yeah. Steve Martin, philosophy major.
That's right.
And a great banjo player. That's
right. Yeah.
Try this one. A police officer, an Indian chief, a construction worker, a cowboy, a mustached biker.
People.
Yep. And a serviceman make up this famous six-member band formed in 1977 that, for the record, is still touring today.
That was my first album I ever owned.
People.
The
nice.
Village People,
really?
Live and Sleazy.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. Edgar Winter is said to have pioneered the use of this synthesizer in modern rock when he became first musician to perform wearing a keyboard slung around his neck. What was the name of the group's instrumental hit that spent 2 months at number one in 1973?
Oh, man.
That used that synthesizer.
So they don't want the name of the synthesizer.
Like Quasar or something like that?
No. I mean, it's certainly something interesting. Speaking of horror, we had mentioned horror already.
Frankenstein
was the name of that. Yes. You guys did really well. One
did
out
you
of
hum
a
few for us?
No, that one I can't do because I was born in 1978.
I can't.
But you could do if you want to.
Bring it to my head.
I'll leave my friends behind. No, not right now. Let's see here. Oh, wonderful. Dear professors, as promised, I've taken a few moments out of my day to come up with 20 questions that are all across the board. I sincerely hope the panelists will be challenged by them and a score 80% correct will be considered passing. Thanks again for great entertainment and knowledge. Warmest regards from Valencia, California, Mr. Frank Burroughs, question writers.
Thank you so much, Frank.
What military award have actors such as James Arness, James Garner, Lee Marvin, Charles Bronson, and Charles Durning won?
Purple Heart.
The Purple Heart. That is absolutely correct. And what do you need to do to win the Purple Heart?
Get wounded.
In battle.
That's right.
What?
Oh, yeah, you can self-inflict a wound and not win the Purple Heart.
Right, or you can't step on a bottle cap.
Do you guys remember on MASH? Frank Burns, and he got a Purple Heart.
Oh, that's right.
A shell fragment.
Hilarious. Speaking of hilarious, what was the name of the character Gene Hackman played in Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein?
He had a name?
Oh, he was the German captain.
He was the guy with the soup, wasn't it?
No, he was the friar, the monk.
the blind friar.
That's right.
Harold the blind man was his line.
Yes. Oh,
Harold
and then, and then the monster storms off and he says, wait, I just made...
Like Vichyssoise or something?
No, it's like cappuccino, or I just made espresso.
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 He's running out, calling for him in the rain.
There's Gene Hackman.
So the name is Frankenstein.
One of the best movies ever made.
What are the world's four largest rapid transit systems located? Where are they located?
London, Tokyo.
Tokyo, yes. London, no.
Brazil? São Paulo.
No.
Paris.
Mexico City. Paris.
Nope.
Moscow?
Moscow.
Someplace in Sweden?
Not London?
Not London.
You're kidding.
You guys are missing the biggest one.
Germany? New York?
New York City. Okay, there we go.
Oh.
And one more in the Far East compared to where we are here.
Like Seoul?
Seoul is the last one, yes. Tokyo, Moscow, Seoul, and New York City. Hmm. Still got it, though, guys. Still got it. Who are the only three cast members who appeared in every episode of original Love Boat? You can give me the character names or Steubing. The actors. Steubing.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin McLeod.
Okay. Julie.
I guess the bartender. No. Julie.
The bartender.
Gopher. Gopher.
Isaac.
Isaac, the bartender. Yeah. Yep.
And the doctor.
How about the doctor?
Doc.
Bernie Coppell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bernie Coppell, Dr. Adam Bricker. You guys can.
Wow.
Well, there's only so many characters.
That's awesome. What city is the birthplace of the Pretenders lead singer Chrissy Hynde?
Ohio.
Cleveland, wasn't it?
Close by, not Cleveland.
Oh. Akron?
Akron, the Zips of Akron. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Somehow a Zip is a kangaroo, I think, for the University of Akron. What vehicle made its debut in Paramount, California in 1949?
Studebaker?
I wish I could tell you that it was a nice automobile, but it wasn't really. It's a vehicle. But
Studebaker was Detroit.
Yeah, anyway, not... not an automobile.
It made
what manufacturers even
not
out
an
there?
Yeah.
It's not an automobile.
Oh,
what'd
you
far
say?
From it. What bike? Vehicle?
Oh, a Vespa.
Not a Vespa. Not a bicycle.
A golf cart.
Nope.
Helium balloon.
Lawnmower.
People who are from Detroit know this vehicle very well if they're good sports fans. If they like to wear red when they're being sports fans.
What's the thing called?
The
people mover?
Zamboni.
The Zamboni.
It's kind of ironic. It debuted in California. Really, what was he cleaning? Not the streets.
They were scrubbing the grass.
That's kind of funny. What actor was born William West Anderson?
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Adam West.
Adam West. This is a stage name. Name all six original members of Monty Python.
Eric Idle,
mm-hmm.
Michael Palin, John Cleese, mm-hmm. Graham Chapman.
Terry Jones.
Thank you. And Terry Gilliam.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Good job.
Good job,
I like
guys.
Back away.
Monty Python.
Just let us know when
rules.
You need help, okay, guys?
Yeah. Let us know when there's something
sorry.
You don't
know. Oh, that's great.
You know, and John Cleese to this day is still hilarious.
Oh, yes, he is.
Commercial
whenever they put him in.
He was great in the Olympics.
He's like standing around in his underpants. That's basically what he does, you know? Hilarious.
What a living.
We'll get back to a car question here. What automobile was dubbed the torpedo on wheels?
The hot dog mobile.
No.
Corvair?
Hot dog mobile. You mean the wheeler mobile.
The Pinto?
I'm sorry. Someone might have said something. I might have missed something because we were
was
talking
about... Was it the
Corvair? Oscar Mayer. Not the Corvair.
The Tucker?
The Tucker. The Tucker.
Oh,
yeah,
oh
yeah, absolutely.
Why was it a torpedo?
Kind of looked
that
like a
torpedo.
That was
one of the names
shape.
Mm-hmm. Tucker torpedo.
The shape of it?
Mm-hmm. But it also had the centerpiece.
Oh, the
center
eye.
And the light bulb
headlight.
That would go in any direction and
that's
the front
right.
wheels would...
That's right. And then as the movie taught me, wasn't that a George Lucas movie? Yeah, everybody stole his stuff and he went out of business and died penniless or something. Poor guy. Who is the first British royal to fly in a helicopter?
Well, I know the last one to jump out of a helicopter.
That's right. Bless her heart. What a good sport.
I don't know.
That's what Harry's off to do now.
Oh,
in Afghanistan.
Well, it's closed.
That was one of the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Queen.
Yeah. Oh, right, right.
Right.
Exactly.
Because what happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas.
Yeah. Right.
Prince Harry. What a surprise.
Okay, the first to fly in a helicopter.
Yeah, all I got to say is it's a living royal, so it's kind of odd that it took
Prince Philip?
It was
Prince Philip.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Duke of Edinburgh. Absolutely.
I would have guessed Harry because he was in the army, but no.
But his father was before him.
Jose F. Duval, Carlos Sanchez, and Carlos Castaneda have all portrayed this fictional character. Probably better known during the 80s and 90s than in the 2000s.
What were the names again, man?
Jose F. Duval, Carlos Sanchez, and Carlos Castaneda. There were a lot of TV and radio commercials featuring this character. A lot of them. At least during the 80s.
Was he the coffee Spanish? The coffee guy?
Juan Valdez.
Oh, Juan Valdez. Juan Valdez.
Yes. The coffee guy. This guy's
got, you mean Joe DiMaggio?
Mr. Coffee? Where is El Dorado International Airport located?
New Mexico.
Nope. It is not in the United States of America.
El Dorado? That would have to be, wow, in Peru? Lima?
You're in the right wheelhouse, but it's not Peru.
Argentina?
It's the capital of something. I can tell you that. Not Argentina. Bogota. Colombia.
El Dorado.
Yes. Who supplies the voice of Stinky Pete in Pixar's Toy Story 2?
Oh, I just saw that.
Mm-hmm. Great movie.
Kelsey Grammer.
Sideshow Bob himself. Absolutely. Which U.S. president, I find this one fascinating. Which U.S. president was co-founder of the University of Buffalo?
McKinley.
No, it wasn't Cleveland. It wasn't McKinley.
Huh, the two obvious ones.
Wasn't McKinley killed
his
in Buffalo,
kind of sounds like a duck.
Was McKinley killed?
Sounds like a duck. Quack, quack.
Daffy?
Donald?
President Daffy?
Millard Fillmore.
Millard Fillmore, yeah. I was thinking of Mallard Fillmore.
Oh, Mallard.
I still like President Daffy.
You see, you know, that super powerful speech last night. Inconceivable. One of my the keystone of my childhood was Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Donald Duck versus Daffy on dueling pianos. That was just like the coming together right. of two wow. worlds.
But when you just said that, that's from The Princess Bride.
Yeah, I know, but I was
oh,
trying to
oh, were
do
you
the
trying
Daffy
to do that?
Daffy
oh, okay. Because that was really funny.
That's why
really
I don't
funny.
See me anymore.
I keep using that word. I think it means what you think it means.
Another film that's just full of great one-liners is The Princess Bride.
It's
really a great movie.
Every morning when I leave for work, in fact, anytime I leave the house, Drew always yells
have fun,
up from the
storm
basement,
in the castle.
Storm in the castle.
Oh, we got a Beatles question here.
Oh, Beth, all you.
Which was back. The first song played during the 1965 Shea Stadium concert? That's a
great Twist and Shout.
I know.
Twist and Shout's a good guess, and Twist and Shout it is.
Very good.
That
thing.
Would not have been my guess, actually, okay. I'm glad somebody else guessed that.
So I know for a fact one of the states, but apparently 17 states have the same official state insect, making it the most popular. What is the insect?
The mosquito.
Oh.
It's not the mosquito. It's not the mosquito. That would be the state bird. Although
the
we're going to have
bee.
To talk about it next time. It
the
is
bee.
The honeybee.
Okay.
Professor Chuck Hockett.
Hey, have a good weekend.
Professor Jeff Boats.
Buzz.
Professor Diane Manica.
See you next time.
Professor Dave Chow.
Toodaloo.
Professor Jim Tubbs.
Chow.
Professor Dan Maggio.
Quack, quack.
Zombie Beth.
Brains.
Now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.